You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner is with us once again this morning, and he shares the historical origins of the term a Waterloo moment and why its history matters.
The Battle of Waterloo, fought outside Brussels, Belgium on June 18, 1815, is arguably the most famous battle in the modern world. It was Napoleon's final battle, effectively ending the First French Empire. Europe had been consumed with strife since his ascendancy to the throne. Napoleon created countries to his own liking, placed his kin on those thrones, humiliated Austria, Prussia, and at times even Russia. He ran roughshod over Europe until the fateful invasion of Russia in 1812, which ended in defeat, as much from the bitter Russian winter as from her armies. The following year, he was defeated at the Battle of Leipzig and in campaigns within France in 1814. He was finally exiled to the island of Elba off the Italian coast, but managed to escape and raise another army. For a period known as the Hundred Days, he ran rampant once again, as he raised yet another army and promised the French that he would restore their glory once again, of course, under his leadership. The imperial powers who fought Napoleon created another coalition to stop him. The Allies to the east gathered a great army near the northeastern border of France. This force was led by Field Marshal Gebhard von Blücher. The British sent an army under the Duke of Wellington. Napoleon had faced both of these commanders before, not always to his advantage. The French emperor chose to attack the British before the two Allied commands could combine. Thus, he moved his army into Belgium, seeking to destroy the Brits. There were actually four battles that make up what we call Waterloo, lasting from June 16th through the 19th. Of these, the third action at Waterloo was by far the largest and most decisive. Heavy rains poured down on the battlefield on June 17th, so Napoleon waited until noon on the 18th to make his attack. The British held their positions against extraordinarily heavy assaults by the French throughout the afternoon and into the evening, when they counterattacked and drove the French from their positions. At the same time the British attacked, the Prussians and their allies arrived to hit Napoleon's army from its right flank. The carnage was described as Armageddon-like on both sides. Several observers indicated that one could walk across the battlefield on corpses never touching the blood-soaked ground. The Allies marched into Paris and restored the Bourbon monarchy, placing Louis XVIII on the throne. Napoleon was once again exiled to an island, this time St. Helena in the South Atlantic, where he remained until his death in 1821. The convulsions that Europe experienced during the Napoleonic era were ended by the Congress of Vienna, which lasted effectively for 99 years. It was much more successful than the Treaty of Versailles, which ended World War I. World War II is proof that Versailles was a failure. Although there would be tensions and revolutions in Europe, the great powers would not clash with such devastation for a century. The mystique of Napoleon remains today. More books have been written about him and his era than any other man except Jesus Christ. Today, when describing people who experience a defeat, it is not uncommon to refer to a person as having met his or her Waterloo. This grand defeat of a very powerful and influential man is legend. Napoleon demonstrates the effect a single person can have on history. He is clear proof that grand schemes and equally grand efforts to thwart them can consume millions of lives and change the course of human events. Empires and egos, human genius and human error all confirm that history matters.
Dr. Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport. Morning Edition continues now here on Red River Radio.